There we go. Please open your Bible tonight to John chapter number 12. John chapter number 12. I want to share with you tonight a little bit about the road ahead for our church in 2022. As you know, I'm not a real big fan of five-year plans and 10-year plans. In my experience in life, most of those tend to be completely out of date after about a year, and you might as well just throw them out. And anytime we consider the road ahead, we always consider that we're walking in the will of God, and only He knows the road ahead and what lies on the road, and what and He'll be sufficient for us no matter what we come across. But just in terms of the burdens that are on my heart for our church in the coming year, and some things that I'd like to share with you about where I would like us to direct our attention in the year to come, I'd like to share those things with you tonight. Now, you may remember last year our direction was found from Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14, pressing toward the mark. In fact, we still have those banners up. We're getting new banners made, but our digital design team that we use has all been sick with COVID, so they're running behind schedule on getting those done for us. But Lord willing, we'll have some new banners up before too long. But you know, the last couple years, we've had a theme that was somehow related to the race of the Christian life. 2 years ago in 2020, it was running with patience, the race that is set before us. And then last year, pressing toward the mark, I continued that emphasis. I thought that it would be helpful for us to continue focusing on pressing on through, especially as we were going through the pandemic. And we're still going through the pandemic, but Lord willing, it's coming to an end soon. Amen. Amen. And some of you want to keep on going with the pandemic. All right. I'll give you another chance on that. Lord willing, it's coming to an end soon. Amen. Amen. All right. And so we're going to just continue praying for that to happen. But that was our theme for last year, pressing toward the mark, and how important it is for us to constantly be considering the fact that God has called us to be pressing in the present toward a future prize. The prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Okay. The prize that we are running for is not to win the lottery. I hate to disappoint some of you. The prize that we are running for is not something that we are looking forward to here on earth. The prize that we are running to attain, the prize that we are striving, that we are stretching ourselves out for and pressing toward in the present is the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus. When is that going to happen? When the trumpet sounds and the Lord Jesus descends and He is going to catch us up into His presence to be with Him forevermore. And so that was our theme last year. Now, for this coming year, we're going to leave the racing theme behind for a different emphasis, and yet it is also a related emphasis. And so the theme that I would like us to have for our church for this coming year is we would see Jesus. We would see Jesus. And so that is our theme, and then the theme verse for that theme would come from John chapter number 12, verses 20 and 21. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, "Sir, we would see Jesus." Now I'm gonna walk us through this passage here in a few minutes. But folks, that is a wonderful desire to have. That was a wonderful request that these Greeks made of the disciples. And this desire and this request would be one that we would do well to echo in our lives as believers, that we also would see Jesus. That we want to see Him more than anything else. So for the context here, let's take a look at this passage, and we're going to start at verse number 20. I have a, I have a short outline for, well, it's five points, outline here for you from this passage in John chapter number 12, and I'd like us to begin reading at verse number 20. Verse number 20. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. It was the feast of Passover. It was about to take place. And the same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. All right, so let's consider first of all there the praiseworthy request of the Greeks. These Greeks were Gentiles. Now you know that the earthly ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ focused on the nation of Israel. And he really, on purpose, focused his attention on the lost sheep of the house of Israel, as he said on one occasion. And yet here were some people that were Greeks by birth. They were Gentiles by birth. They may have been Gentile converts to Judaism, and that may have been why they were in the feast. They were in the city of Jerusalem for the feast of Passover. But here were some people that had heard about Jesus. They weren't from around these parts, so to speak. They weren't from this area. They weren't from Jerusalem, but they were there, and they had heard about Jesus, and they said, you know what? We really want to see this man. We want to meet him. We want to be eyewitnesses of what this man, Jesus Christ, is doing. And so they found one of Jesus' disciples, and they said, hey, we would see him. We would like to see Jesus. That is a praiseworthy request. All right, and so Andrew and Philip, they didn't quite know what to make of that request because these were not Jews, these were not Israelites, and so they talked about it evidently, and then they came and they told Jesus, well, there are some Greeks who would like to see you. Now, let's look at the perplexing response of Jesus in verse number 23. And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Now, is that kind of a perplexing answer when you think about that? I mean, they come and they say, hey, there's some Greeks that want to see you. And you notice that the Lord Jesus didn't directly answer that request. Instead, he spoke of the death of a seed. He talks about a corn of wheat. The word corn there means a seed. And he didn't directly answer Philip. But then again, he did. And so to understand how he was answering, we'll have to work our way through the rest of the passage. But what is this seed of wheat that would fall into the ground and die? Folks, that seed is himself. The corn of wheat that he is referring to in this verse is himself. He was that corn of wheat. And when he talks about it falling into the ground to die, he was talking about his death upon the cross that was coming very soon. Now, this was going to happen very soon. And he was looking forward with anticipation to the fact that, yes, he would die. But through his death, there would be much fruit. He said, if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. What is the fruit that was brought forth from the death of our Lord Jesus Christ upon the cross? It was the fruit of eternal life for all those that believe in Him. The fruit of souls. The fruit of all those people throughout this church age who have believed the message of the gospel and have been born again into the family of God. The incorruptible seed of the Word fell into their hearts and it germinated. And it brought them into the life of God Himself, into the gift of eternal life, and the fruit of the Lord Jesus Christ growing in their lives. So when the Lord Jesus talked about a corn of wheat falling into the ground to die, to bring forth much fruit. He was looking forward to the fruit of souls that would be saved out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And so when these Greeks came and they said, we would see Jesus, this was a foretaste of the global reach of the good news of salvation and of the interest of other nations in the salvation of God. By and large, the Jewish nation rejected Jesus as their Messiah. But there were other people out there. There were Greeks. There were others who would receive the message. And here some of them were coming to Jesus even before he died upon the cross. And so as these men delivered to Jesus the news that there were some Greeks that wanted to see him, it made the Lord Jesus think about the fact that soon he would accomplish that great redemptive work that would bring forth a harvest of souls, not just among the nation of Israel, but among all the nations of the world. I don't think the Greeks got to see Jesus on this day. This wasn't the day for them to meet Jesus because his earthly ministry was focused on Israel. But soon they would have the opportunity to see Jesus. So that's the perplexing response of Jesus. But now let's go on in the passage and let's consider the proper relation to our master, okay? So let's go to verse number 25, because in verse 25, the Lord Jesus begins to expand upon what he just said. He was talking about himself, but now he is talking to his followers. Now he is talking to those who name his name. And he says to them in verse number 25, he that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. All right, so what is the proper way for us to relate to our master, the Lord Jesus Christ? It is to follow him. He says, hey, if you're going to serve me, then follow me. Follow in my footsteps. Do as I do. I am giving myself as a seed of wheat to fall into the ground and to die so that I can bring forth much fruit of souls. And so now you do as I have done. You die to yourself as well. You be willing to die so that you can bring forth fruit. Like master, like servant. Folks, if you want to name the name of Jesus Christ, if you believe in the Lord Jesus and you say, yes, he is my Lord and Savior, then understand that being a servant of the Master and following Jesus Christ, it means following in his footsteps, and that means taking up a cross. We will also be called to die to self so that we may gain eternal fruitfulness and reward. Are you willing, as a believer, to fall into the ground and die so that you can bring forth fruit? Folks, the Lord did not save us so that we could just live happy, comfortable, complacent, self-centered lives on this earth and do what we want to do and get all the stuff that we want to have all the fun that we want to have, and then when we're all done having fun here on this earth, to die and go to heaven. That's not the calling that we have. Okay, that's not the kind of life that Jesus lived on this earth, was it? No. He lived for others. He died to himself. He bore the cross. He calls us to do the same. To be willing to set our own desires aside, to deny ourselves, and to serve him. You say, oh yes, I want to serve the Lord. Okay, well this is what it means to serve the Lord. It means to say no to yourself. It means to be willing even to die, to lay down your life on this earth for Jesus. And guess what? You lay it down. What did Jesus say? If you're willing to hate your life in this world, you'll keep it to life eternal. On the other hand, if you're going to love your life in this world, if you're going to make your life about this world, if you're going to say, hey, this world is my world, this is my life, I'm going to do what I want to do, guess what? You're going to lose it. It will slip through your fingers like trying to grab on to a fistful of water. Your life on earth is but a vapor. And there's lots of people out there that are living for this world, and they don't know Jesus. And as I preached last Sunday morning, when they die, it's over. But as believers, we're not called to live that kind of a life. We're called to live with eternity in view. And so if I could just make an application here, remember that your life on earth as a believer is not about life on earth. Life on earth, this world, is a vestibule of eternity. Did you hear what I said? Your life on this earth is a vestibule for eternity. You say, what's a vestibule? Okay, that's your vocabulary word for today, all right? It's like an entryway. It's like the, you know, you have you ever walked into a big house? You walk into a big house and they open the front door and there they have a room, and all it is just a room that people walk into when they walk in the door, okay? Now, when you walk into a house, how many of you just stay the whole time in the vestibule? No. No, you're if you walk into the home, you walk into the entry room, the entryway there, what is your goal? What is your desire? Eventually, you want to walk into the rest of the house, right? I mean, the house isn't about the vestibule. That's just the entryway. Your life on earth is just a vestibule of eternity. Your life on earth is not about the entryway. It's about what lies beyond. That's what we're supposed to be living for. So Jesus here took the opportunity to teach us what it means to serve the Master and to follow Him. It means to be a corn of wheat and to fall into the ground and die. And Jesus said, if a man is willing to do that, if a person is willing to do that, that person will be honored by the Heavenly Father. Now let's go on third and look at the fourth, let's look at the powerful reply of the Father. Let's go on to verse number 27. So here, Jesus now turns his attention to what lay before him. He says, now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said, an angel spake to him. Wow. So the Lord Jesus has taken the opportunity to tell his disciples, hey, this is why I came, okay? There's Greeks that want to see me. That's why I came. I came to die so that I could bring forth a harvest of souls that you cannot begin to comprehend. Then he took the opportunity to teach his disciples about how we are to follow the Master, the way that we are to live our lives here on this earth, okay? That we are called to serve God. Okay? Because soon we will enter into the glory of the Lord. We will enter into the house of the Lord. And so we are called to serve our Master. That's what life on earth is about for the believer. You're just passing through the vestibule on your way into the house where the glory of God is personally revealed to you. And now He changes his focus and he begins to think about the work that he is about to accomplish upon the cross. And he is very transparent with his disciples. He says to them, I am troubled in my soul. And what should I say? How shall I pray? Have you ever wondered how to pray about something? And that's kind of what Jesus is saying here. He's saying, what shall I say? Shall I ask the Father to save me from this hour? By the way, what was the hour? The hour was the hour of his suffering and death. The hour was the same hour that Jesus prayed about in the garden. Let this hour pass from me, if it be possible. The hour was that hour in which he would bear the sins of the world upon himself. So the question is, should Jesus pray, Father, save me, deliver me from what is before me? That might be his desire. And some people think that would be wrong to think that Jesus would desire to not go to the cross. Folks, why would the Lord Jesus want to go to the cross? There was nothing there for himself but agony and pain and the slimy dirtiness of our sin. But Jesus said, I'm not going to pray that way, because that's why I came. He says, for this cause came I unto this hour. And so rather than asking the Father to save me from this hour, I'm going to pray, Father, glorify thy name. Basically, this is the same thing that Jesus prayed in the garden. Not my will, but thine be done. Glorify your name. All right, so why was Jesus troubled? He was troubled because his hour of suffering and death was upon him. And so what did he ask for? He did not ask to be saved from death, but rather he asked to glorify the Father. And then what was the response of the Father? The response of the Father was, I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. Now, what does that mean? Well, I believe that the Father there was saying, first of all, that he had glorified his name in the life and the earthly ministry of his Son upon the earth. That phase was coming to an end. That as John says, that Jesus revealed the Father to us. He has declared the Father, the only begotten Son. He has declared the Father to us. And so the glory of God was revealed in the life and the ministry of the Lord Jesus on the earth. So the Father says, I have glorified it. And now I am about to glorify my name again and in a greater name, in a greater way, through the death of Jesus upon the cross. So the Father glorified his name in the earthly life and ministry of Christ, and he would again glorify it in that greatest work of redemption. In other words, yes, Jesus is going to the cross, and there he will glorify the Father and fulfill the Father's will. And you know what? As believers, that is the purpose of our existence as well. The purpose of your life on this earth is to live, and if called upon, even to die for the glory of God. We have that verse on the screen tonight at the end of one of the specials. What did the Apostle Paul say? Whether by life or death, Christ would be magnified in my body. The word magnified just means glorified. Whether it be by life or by death. The purpose of your life on earth as a believer is to glorify God. And the method by which you will glorify God is by following your Master and by serving Him in the same way that He served. So now let's consider finally tonight the purposeful raising up of the Redeemer. The purposeful raising up of the Redeemer. Let's read verses 30 to 33. Jesus answered and said, "This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." This he said, signifying what death he should die. So what was the purpose for the Redeemer to be lifted up? It was to draw all people to himself. He would be lifted up so that all people from all the corners of the earth would be drawn to him, and even the Greeks. So now we understand Jesus' answer to the request of the Greeks. Yes, they can see Jesus. They can be saved. The way of salvation is open to them, just like the Jews, because Jesus died for all people. This is what Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 16. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, that is the fold of Israel. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. He also said in John chapter 11, verses 51 and 52, this was a prophecy that was uttered by the high priest, and he didn't even know that he was prophesying, but he said, this he spake not of himself, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die for that nation, and not for that nation only, that is the nation of Israel, but then he should also gather together in one the children of God that were scattered abroad. And so what is the outcome? Did Jesus do the Father's will? Did he fulfill his mission of redemption? Did he go to the cross? Did he glorify the Father there? Was he raised from the dead? Some of you are you awake? Are you listening? Hello? Was he raised from the dead? Is he ascended to heaven? Is he in glory on the right hand of the Father today? Yes, he is. And so the outcome is that now we also, as Gentiles, have the privilege of seeing Jesus. So now we can have, as our theme for this church, for this year of 2022, we would see Jesus. It was made possible by the death of Jesus Christ upon the cross, that he glorified the Father's name and did the Father's will. So I want to ask you this question, okay? Is that your greatest desire, to see Jesus? What are your desires? What are the things that you long for? What are your goals in life? Where on the list is seeing Jesus for you? I would submit to you that this should be the greatest desire of every believer. But of course, the Lord Jesus is no longer ministering on the earth so that we can meet him face to face. So how is it that we can see Jesus? How is it that we can have this as our theme for our church for this year? I want to share with you, if I could, tonight, some ways to see Jesus. Okay, how can we see Jesus? First of all, we can see him in his word. I preached about that on the last Sunday of 2021 from 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star rise in your hearts. And I preach from that passage, and I explain to you that the day star and the dawning day arising in your heart, that is the light and the glory of the Lord Jesus himself living within you, revealed to you in the pages of his word. And so what are we called to do as believers? We are called to take heed to his word. We are called to immerse ourselves in his word and to pay attention to what it says so that we can see there and hear the glory of our Lord and Savior. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18 says, but we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed in the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So what is the glass? The glass there is talking about the mirror of God's Word. As we gaze into the Scriptures, the pages of the Scripture, what do we see there? We see the glory of the Lord. And in the context there, that is being compared with the fact that Moses saw the glory of God on the mountain of Sinai, and yet there is the same glorious work that God is doing in the lives of believers. We don't see God face to face on Mount Sinai, but we can see him in the Bible. And the more time we spend there looking at His glory, guess what? The reflection will come our way and will change us, will make us more glorious, will change us into the glory, as it says, from the same image of the Lord Jesus, how the Spirit of God will transform us through the glass of His Word. So, if your desire as a believer is to see Jesus, then you should be loving the Bible and you should be spending much time in the Word, because you'll see Him there. That should be your greatest priority. Secondly, we can see the Lord Jesus in our remembrances of His death. Okay, that's one of the reasons why the Lord Jesus instituted the church. One of the ordinances of the church is to observe the Lord's Supper. What do? We observe the Lord's Supper. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 26 says, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do what? You show the Lord's death till He come." We show it so that we can see it, okay? So we can remember, we can behold through the Word of God and our remembrance together of the Lord's Supper, what Jesus did for us upon the cross. All right, so that's another way that we can see Jesus. I'm going to move right along here. We can also see Jesus in His people and in His church. We can see Him in His people and in His church. Colossians chapter 1, verse 27 says, "To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in" where? Where is Christ if you're saved? Christ in you. The hope of glory. All right, so what is your hope? What is your certainty of future glory? It is that the glory of God already lives in you. Christ is already within. And so He should be revealed in your life. If He's in here, it should be evident to others around you that the glory of God lives in you. Talking about the church, Matthew 18, verse 20, Jesus said, "For where two or three are gathered together in My name, there am I in the midst of them." And so when people gather together in the name of the Lord Jesus, when His body assembles, He is present in the midst. He should be seen there. No, not with eyes of sight, but in the lives and in the fellowship of the body of which He is the head. So we can see Jesus in His people and in His church. And then we can also see Jesus in the preaching of the gospel. In the preaching of the gospel, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. Paul says, "We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." All right, so what is that saying? If you're saved, God has shined His glorious light in your heart. And one reason is so that you can give and you can reveal the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That as you witness to people, as you share the glorious light of the gospel, people will see in you and even on your face the glory of Jesus. He can be seen in the preaching of the gospel. And then we can also see Him at His coming. We can see Him at His coming. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12 says, "For now we see through a glass darkly." That's the glass of God's Word, by the way. Same glass. "But then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known." All right, so how well does God know you? He knows you very well. He knows all about you. How well do you know God? Well, you know God, and you know some things about God, and you can see Him through this glass. And it is a glorious glass. I read that to you a moment ago from 2 Corinthians 3, that there we can see the glory of God, and yet this glory is dark compared to the glory that is waiting for us in heaven. And one day we will see that glory and we'll know Him even as He already knows us. 1 John 3:2 says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." Are you looking forward to that moment when you will see the Lord Jesus as He is in all of His glory, and your newly recreated eyes of your new glorified body, you will be able to process with those eyes His full glory? And then finally, we see Jesus in His eternal glory. Revelation chapter 22, verses 3 and 4 says, "And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him, and they shall see His face, and His name shall be in their foreheads." It's talking about the New Jerusalem. It's talking about the new creation of God. It's talking about where we will live for all of eternity. And what's the best thing about heaven? The best thing about heaven is that the Lord Jesus is there, and we will see Him. It specifically says, "They shall see His face." And guess what? What are we going to be doing while we see His face? It says we will be serving Him. So what is the purpose of your life here on earth? It's to glorify God. And how do you do that? Through serving your Master. And then when you get to heaven, what are you going to do there? Guess what you're going to do is you're going to go right on serving Him, because you love Him and you want to continue to glorify His name. And you will have the opportunity anytime you want to go into the throne room and there see the Lord Jesus Christ face to face in His full glory. I ask you again, what is the greatest desire of your life? And I would submit to you that it should be to see Jesus. To see Jesus. And that's something that we're going to think about and we're going to meditate on this year in our church. And I have some messages that I want to preach about these different facets of seeing the Lord. And then also this year, as I get into some upcoming highlights, I'm planning to begin a Sunday morning exposition of the book of Hebrews. I've been wanting to preach the book of Hebrews for a while. I have some fear and trepidation about taking on that challenge. But I believe this is what God has for us this year. So at some point, we're going to begin that. In Hebrews 2, verse 9, what does it say? But we see Jesus. I think that the book of Hebrews is a book that's all about the Lord Jesus Christ, and it will reveal His glory to us in an awesome way. Think about training and discipleship for this coming year. I want to share with you a few things that we're planning to do there. All of these, by the way, come under the heading of "We Would See Jesus," but as we seek to train and disciple people, I want to let you know we are planning to revamp our Bible Institute. So we've been trying to get this off the ground for the last couple of years. COVID definitely interfered. We were planning to do a cooperative ministry with the camp, have it at the camp, and we are making some changes there. So what we're going to be doing is we're going to be offering the Institute. We're planning to start it in August. But we're bringing it back in-house. So it's no longer going to be at the camp. And we're going to do it in-house here in the evenings for those who want to participate. And this is going to allow us to bring the cost way down. And that's going to make it much more affordable. And it's going to make it possible for us to focus our attention on giving training to the members of our congregation who would desire to get more in-depth teaching and training in the Bible that would be similar to what you would get in a year or two of Bible college or a Bible institute somewhere else, that we want to provide that right here for our people. So I want you to stay tuned for more information about that, and I'm excited about that. I think that that there are potentially some really good things that can come from this ministry. I also want to tell you a little bit about something that I've been working on now. I'm calling it the Pastor Training Program. God has been putting a desire upon my heart, I believe, to invest more in providing practical training for men who want to be pastors. And so I've developed a concept for this ministry. I've shared it with the deacons. We're discussing it right now, and I'm looking forward to sharing that with our church in the near future and letting people read the ministry description. But the goal of this pastor training program, as we get this off the ground, and Lord willing, in this coming year, will be to provide internships for men who want to become pastors that would be from 1 to perhaps 3 years in length. This could perhaps dovetail with our Bible Institute for those who do not have Bible college training already. And the focus would be on preparing men to go out into pastor churches in this region. So we want to have a ministry to other churches in this region that need pastors. And so that's something that we're working on. I wanted to mention that I talked about having a men's breakfast and a men's Bible study. That was supposed to be launched in the fall. It didn't happen yet, but it is planned for here to start really soon. So some of you signed up for that, or you signed up to help with that breakfast ministry, and I haven't forgotten about that, and we'll be contacting you here in the not-too-distant future to get that launched and off the ground. I wanted to share with you about outreach as a focus for our church this year. First of all, our bus and visitation ministries, we want to restart these. We had planned to restart them in January, but our deacons and pastors in consultation together have decided it would be best to wait until after the Omicron wave subsides, and then we want to try to relaunch those ministries. And I'm really excited about getting our bus ministry back off the ground. And I have some dreams for our bus ministry to even grow it in the future and add an extra route. I'm interested in perhaps adding a route to Pomona in the future. So those are some ideas that I have for our bus ministry. And I know several of you signed up to be potential bus workers. And again, we haven't forgotten about you either. And we'll be coming to speak to you about that, Lord willing, in the next couple months or so. Missions ministry. We are working through a major expansion of our missions ministry. As you know, we had a very large Faith Promise commitment this last fall, and so missions is going to be an emphasis for our church this year. And so we're going to be bringing in several missionaries throughout the course of the year. We're planning to take on at least 5 new missionaries this year. You'll see this in our proposed budget here shortly. We're also making plans to take on the Bible college in Myanmar. And so we're continuing to research that and talk about the best way that we could be a help to that ministry. But you will see those things in the budget here in a little bit. But I just wanted to mention that we do whenever we take on a new missionary or a new mission work, we do bring that to the church for a separate vote. But you'll see those things in the budget indicating that this is our plans and we are allocating resources for what we believe God is going to lead us to do in the future. Okay, so missions is going to be an emphasis this year. Calvary's Love Ministry. You know, the last couple of years we've done Operation Christmas Dinner. It's been a good outreach, but I believe that if we do Operation Christmas Dinner next year, we're going to revise that quite a bit. This year we had some difficulties giving away all the meals, and it just seemed like there wasn't quite as much need in our community as there was the year before. And so if we do Operation Christmas Dinner next year, it will probably be scaled back, and it will be focused more on those that pre-register and also on personal contacts of people in our church. And that would be a smaller outreach. But perhaps what the Lord is leading us to. We are also exploring another possible ministry outreach for Calvary's Love in this coming year, and I'm not going to talk about that yet tonight, but that's something that we'll be working on and sharing later on as the doors open. As far as worship is concerned, I think an emphasis for our church this coming year is going to continue to be to revitalize our choir ministry and our orchestra ministry. Now, the choir this morning was a blessing. They sounded beautiful. Amen? Okay. They did, okay, whether you think they did or not. They were awesome. And so what an encouragement that is to have the choir singing again. We want to invest in the choir this coming year. We're going to increase that music budget so they can get some new music and things. And then I'm also wanting to revitalize our orchestra ministry. That's one of the little side purposes and goals that I have for this brass choir that we've been doing. I want to encourage people to use their gifts, and I think there is a lot more giftedness out in our congregation than maybe meets the eye on the typical Sunday. And so we're going to work on building those things this year. And then as far as our facility is concerned, we do have some big projects that we're going to be taking on this year. Mainly, it's outside things related to repaving this parking lot. So we're going to be repaving this parking lot, sealing the others, striping it all. We're proposing that we replace this east sidewalk, east landscaping, all that needs to be done. And you'll see those projects in the budget as well. All right, so those are some things that we have to look forward to in the coming year. But now, if I could just share with you, how can you get this year off to a good start? Considering what we talked about tonight from God's Word about seeing Jesus and the different ways to see Jesus. Well, let me just share a few things with you if I could. First of all, begin a regular structured program of Bible reading in the new year. If you're not already doing this, if you don't already have some structure to your daily plan for reading the Bible, then that's something that you've got to get in place as a believer. It's time to really make that a priority and to be in the Word every day, because this is your primary way to see Jesus. And so if you're not doing that yet, then make a point of doing that. And if you don't know how to do that, if you need help with that, then you let me know, and we'll try to give you some help in how to do that. Participate faithfully in the preaching and teaching ministry of God's Word at church. I mean, if this is a place where you can see Jesus, if this is a place where when two or three gather, the Lord Jesus is present in the midst, if you can see Jesus in the lives of your brothers and sisters in Christ, then it only makes sense to invest yourself in faithful participation in the body of Christ. And so that's something that we need to emphasize. And I know that we have challenges. We have the Omicron wave right now and all that. But folks, you know, I've shared this before. I'll just share it again that you know, we have something like this pandemic, and there may be some times where we do some exceptional things, but we always have to rebound back to the norms, okay, and to the commands of Scripture, such as forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. And so our faithful obedience to the Word of God has to be like a muscle that just automatically just rebounds to that position. And so we've got to be faithful. We cannot allow ourselves to get into permanent habits of unfaithfulness in these areas, because that is to our spiritual detriment. And God has called us to obedience. Third, I would encourage you, purpose not to miss the Lord's Supper services. We have those on Sunday evenings. They should be a priority for every member of this church. And if you have a difficulty getting here on a Sunday evening, then let your deacon know. And by the way, every member of the church has a deacon, and every deacon should be contacting all of their people in the next week or so. So if you haven't heard from your deacon within the next week or so, then you let me know, and we'll make sure that you know who they are, okay? But if you need help getting to church or something like that, you let your deacon know. But we should be not missing those wonderful times to see the Lord in the celebration of the Lord's table. Look for ways to show the love and glory of the Lord to others in the body. In other words, to show Jesus to others in the body. Let's not lose the emphasis on brotherly love. We had an emphasis on that last year in the preaching, and we need to continue practicing that. Serve in at least one ministry of the church. Because what did God save you to do? He saved you to serve. That's what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. That's what it means to be a follower of Jesus. Following Jesus, serving Jesus, they go right together. There's no difference there. So serve, okay? Find a ministry to be involved in. and serve the Lord faithfully. Prioritize personal and church outreach. As we prioritize that together as a church this year, get involved. Take part. And finally, live daily with the return of Christ in view, because He is coming soon. And when He returns, we will see Him as He is. So let's get off to a good start. The road ahead, we would see Jesus. All right, so that is the challenge that I have for you, and you'll be hearing more from me about this theme in my preaching in the days to come. Let's bow our heads for a moment here this evening as we get ready to close out. I'm going to have our song leader come back. We're going to close tonight's service by learning a new song. There's a song in the hymn book called We Would See Jesus. We've got to learn it, so we're going to learn it. All right? And so in just a minute we'll do that. But as our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, would you just take a moment tonight to ask the Holy Spirit how the Word of God that you heard this evening applies to you?